السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ. نحمده ونصلی علی رسوله الکریم، اما بعد، اعوذ باللہ من الشیطان الرجیم، بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. لقد جاءکم رسول من انفسکم عزیز علیہ ما عنتم حریص علیکم بالمؤمنین رؤوف الرحیم. فَإِن تَوَلَّوْا فَقُلْ حَسْبِيَ اللَّهُ لَا إِلَٰهَ إِلَّا هُوَ عَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلْتُ وَهُوَ رَبُّ الْعَرْشِ الْعَظِيمِ. Respected brothers, over the past few days we have been discussing the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam reported by Hazrat Abu Darda radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, in which Hazrat Abu Darda radiyallahu ta'ala anhu states that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that whosoever recites in the mornings and in the evenings 7 times Hasbi Allahu la ilaha illahu alayhi tawakkaltu wa huwa rabbul arshil azim, then Allah Ta'ala will suffice for his concerns, for his worries, for his problems of this world and the akhirat. It is a part of the complete ayat, as I explained to you. Hasbi Allah is the second part of the ayat, which begins with لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ, in which Allah Ta'ala says that indeed there has come to you an apostle from amongst yourselves. That means of mankind. Allah Ta'ala could have sent an angel, Allah Ta'ala could have sent someone like Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam as a messenger, as an apostle, as a Nabi. But Allah Ta'ala did not send an angel, He sent a human being. But a human being who is not like any ordinary human being. A human being whose connection with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is unmatched and unsurpassed. And who after Allah Ta'ala is the greatest. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was sent in human form, but that does not mean he was like any ordinary human being. He was such that Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam had to say in the night of Miraj, after reaching the Sidratul Muntaha, that if I have to go even a hair breadth of space beyond this, then I will burn to ash. That was the status of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But why was he sent as a human being? Is so that we do not find excuses, so that we do not say that it is impossible to follow Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's way of life, so that we may not say that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if he was an angel, or if he was in the form of an angel, then we would say that that angel does not feel hungry. An angel does not feel thirsty. An angel does not get hurt and injured. An angel does not marry. An angel does not become a father. An angel does not become a husband. An angel cannot become the brother of someone. So in this way, we would have found excuses. We would have said that it is not possible to follow Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam because he never felt hungry, he was not stoned, he was not hurt, he was not mocked, he was not teased. Now we are being teased, we are being mocked, we are being attacked. We feel hungry, we feel thirsty. So to eliminate this problem, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala sent them in the form of human beings. The Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam came in the form of human beings. But they were masoom, they were sinless, they were protected by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and they were sent as guides for mankind. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was sent as a guide for the entire mankind until the day of Qiyamah. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam went through different trials and different tribulations and different tests. So we have an example in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. that if there is a siege, then what do you do? If you are stoned in the cause of deen, then what do you do? If you are attacked, then what do you do? If you feel hungry, then what do you do? How should you earn your living? How should you marry? All the details that go with it. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, we are not going to the tafsir of this ayat, but to just to explain to you that on some other occasions Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gave the wazifa of the complete ayat. He said, read it from لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ. Hazrat Auf ibn Malik radiallahu ta'ala was a sahabi of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. His son was captured by the kuffar. He was tied to the tree. He was strapped very, very solidly. He used to be beaten up. Somehow he managed to get the message over to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam via his father. He got the message over to his father, and then his father got it over to Hazrat Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the message was this, that I have been captured and this is the condition that I am in. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam sent back a message, and the message was that tell your son that he must stay steadfast on taqwa, explaining to you that what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gave him the message. First thing he said, he must stay steadfast on taqwa. Now imagine the person here who is sacrificing everything for the sake of the deen of Allah Ta'ala, and in this path of Allah, in the cause of deen, he is arrested, he is captured, he is being punished, he is being tortured, he is tied up, he is strapped up, but still Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that tell him to stay steadfast on taqwa. That shows that everything Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has linked with this taqwa. His madad, his help, his nusrat is with taqwa. Sometimes there is a test, as I was explaining over the days, that there are tests that will come. The person would have to be patient sometimes for 10 days, sometimes for 20 days, and sometimes for plenty days. But if he has got taqwa, then Allah Ta'ala is with him. Inside his heart, Allah Ta'ala will give him that sukoon in whatever condition he may be. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, tell him that he must stay steadfast on taqwa. That means don't do anything even in this state that will displease your Allah. Refrain, stay away from anything that is displeasing to Allah Ta'ala. In other words, don't indulge in any kind of sins as we indulge when we are in some kind of difficulty, some kind of hardship and problem. Then even in that state, we do not resist, we do not restrain ourselves from haram. We've got a problem, but we are not restraining ourselves from haram. As I say, and I'm not afraid to mention these type of things, that we have to just go to our hospitals. Now the person is a cancer patient, the person is a heart patient, the person has got some other serious disease. Now in that state, what should that person be doing? He should be restraining himself from all haram, staying steadfast on taqwa, and then making dua to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. But instead of that, he has the television box thrust right in front of him. To do what? To pass his time and to ease his pain. Now to ease his pain and to pass his time, what is he indulging in? That which is haram. How many percent or what percentage of the content of the programs on the television can any mufti say is halal or permissible? Because even if there is a fatwa that certain things could be permissible, then the question is that what percentage is permissible? Now when the 80% of the content is haram, then how can we say that now it is permissible? Now that person is going to watch, then even if it is, even as I'm saying, repeating, even if there is a percentage that could be permissible, how many times is he going to lower the volume when the music is going to start? How many times is he going to move his gaze away and switch off when those women will come singing and dancing, when all those advertisements will come, and so many other haram and filthy scenes will come, which may not be filthy and obscene in the sight of those who have become naked and those who have become animals. We are talking about those who are believers in Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and especially this believer who is now sick and he's strapped to his bed there. Now at that time, what should he be doing? So the person, to ease his pain, instead of turning towards Allah Ta'ala, instead of staying steadfast on taqwa, instead of at least making sincere tawbah when he is in that state, now there he is indulging in even more sins. His namazes, which he was told to make in whatever condition he is, if he cannot stand and read, he must sit and read. If he cannot sit and read, he must lie down and read. But he must read the salat. Now go and ask all those patients that are in the hospitals, how many of them will make the salat? The excuse will be, our clothes are dirty, there's some blood on our clothing, there is this, I can't make wuzu. Now, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam brought a deen which is simple, practical, under all conditions you can practice it. The person cannot make wuzu, make tayammum. How difficult is it to make tayammum? As far as the clothes are concerned, to whatever extent he can keep it park, he keeps it park. Otherwise, in that state, when the person is on the bed there and he cannot change clothes, he cannot, then even that is maaf. He can make it in that same condition. But he must make his salat. So this person who was supposed to be turning towards Allah Ta'ala and staying steadfast on taqwa and then making dua to Allah Ta'ala, he's making a lot of dua. He will ask for wazifa also. But even in that state, he's indulging in so much of sins, then what benefit will that wazifa will be of? So then you do not blame Allah Ta'ala and his Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. You must blame that person that he is not making use of the medication as was prescribed. If a doctor says that take this medication 3 times a day, then he must take it 3 times a day. Now if that person says that, well, the doctor said 3 times a day, but why should I worry about 3 times a day? Let me take the dosage of 3 times one time. Instead of taking it 3 times a day, I'd rather take the dosage that was supposed to be 3 times in just one taking. So if he does it in one taking, although he's taking the medication in excess, but he's going to die. So here we have to follow that prescription of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that stay away from sins, adopt taqwa. So he sent this message to the sahabi, that tell him to adopt taqwa. And then he said, tell him to read, لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُّمْ حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ فَإِنْ تَوَلَّوْا فَقُلْ حَسْبِيَ اللَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوْ عَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلْتُ وَهُوَ رَبُّ الْعَرْشِ الْعَظِيمِ. Time to read in abundance. The sahabi started reading in abundance, and as far as taqwa is concerned, it was part of the lifestyle taqwa. As soon as he started this wazifa that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had prescribed, late part of the night, the sahabi reports that without any outward cause, without seeing anybody coming and opening up his straps and loosening the chain, suddenly he said the straps started opening, chain loosened, and he escaped. And not only he escaped and came away to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but on the way he even brought some of the animals as mal-e ghanimat. Allah Ta'ala gave him even war booty. He brought some animals and came away too. So there was some test, but in that test, when he stayed steadfast on taqwa, and then he recited that wazifa that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had prescribed, then Allah Ta'ala found a way out for him. So then the question might arise again in our minds, because shaitan is someone that keeps whispering, that if that was what helped him, then why it didn't help everybody else that was captured in the war? Why is it that so many sahabas, they had to lose their lives and they became shaheed? Well, that Allah Ta'ala, in his wisdom, he wanted to choose some people from amongst the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam as shaheed. Because if there was no shaheed in the ummah, then that ayat of the Quran Sharif in which Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءَ وَالصَّالِحِينَ. Now in there 4 categories have been mentioned: Nabiyyin, Siddiqeen, and then Shuhada, and then Salihin. So we would have had Nabi, we would have had Siddiqs, we would have Salihin, but where would the Shuhada go then? So Shahadat is a great ni'mat of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, which he confers. It is a status which Allah Ta'ala gives to the chosen ones, those who give their lives for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. So there, for them, that was a great honor that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala blessed them with. But in their hearts, as I say, those people who are going to read these wazifas after making an effort to stay away from haram, Allah Ta'ala will definitely give them sukoon in their hearts, under what, in whatever condition they may be. May Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq of amal, may He give us that kind of yaqeen and faith in these wazaif shown by Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, as the faith that the Sahaba Ikram radiallahu anhu ajma'in had. حسبي الله لا إله إلا هو عليه توكلت وهو رب العرش العظيم حسبي الله لا إله إلا هو عليه توكلت وهو رب العرش العظيم حسبي الله لا إله إلا هو عليه توكلت وهو رب العرش العظيم حسبي الله لا إله إلا هو عليه توكلت وهو رب العرش العظيم حسبي الله لا إله إلا هو عليه توكلت وهو رب العرش العظيم حسبي الله لا إله إلا هو عليه توكلت وهو رب العرش العظيم حسبي الله لا إله إلا هو عليه توكلت وهو رب العرش العظيم